In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ. About 1,000 years before the birth of Christ, once King David had finally achieved a little bit of peace in his kingdom, he was sitting one night in his home and he got to thinking, how is it that I sit in a home with gold and cedar of Lebanon and all wonderful things like this, while the Ark of God dwells in a tent? I will build him a temple worthy of his glory. And God told him, no, you are a man who has blood on your hands from all the wars that you have been in. You are not worthy to build a temple to the glory of my name. But because you have this good thought and this goodwill, I will allow your son. Your son will build this temple to my glory. And so after David died, Solomon built what came to be known as Solomon's temple. And in that temple, there was the Ark of the Covenant, which had dwelled in that tent. And in that Ark of the Covenant, there was manna, which had fallen from heaven during the time that Israel had spent 4 years in the desert. Also were the tablets of the Ten Commandments that Moses had received. And also various other holy things in the life of Israel, such as the rod of Jacob that had bloomed out of season. All these things symbolized to the Israelite people the presence of God, the tangible presence of God. Indeed, over this temple, just like over that tent while they were out in the desert, there was a mist, a sort of a cloud that signified God's presence was there over the temple. And it was that way for about 500 years. And then the Babylonians came and destroyed the Israelite people and destroyed that temple. They razed it to the ground. And they stole the Ark of the Covenant. And they took the Israelite people into what was known as the Babylonian exile. And it seemed that that temple was gone forever. But 50 years later, the Babylonians were conquered by the Persians. And their king, Cyrus the Persian, kind of liked the Israelite people. And he allowed them to go back home. And he even financed the rebuilding of the new temple. So they built that new temple. It took ages to get it built. But some of the people were still alive who had seen the old temple when they went to dedicate it again. And when they saw the new temple, they cried because it was nothing to compare with the glory of that first temple. But also, that ark was no longer there. The Ark of the Covenant was lost and is still lost to this day. Some people say it's in Ethiopia, but who knows? But as far as we know, the Ark of the Covenant is gone. So that tangible presence that they had, that they knew that God was with them, and in reality there in that temple was gone. So there was something a little bit missing about that second temple. And then about 200 years before Christ, Alexander the Great had taken over the world, so it had become a Greek world. And during that time there was a king named Antiochus Epiphanes. He called himself God manifest on earth. That's what Epiphanes means. Antiochus, God manifested on earth. He had a very high opinion of himself, obviously. And he came, and he had taken over Jerusalem at that time, and he defiled that temple. He defiled the second temple. He built an altar to Zeus on the place of the Holy of Holies, and he put statues of himself up in there, and he also forbade circumcision. So there was no circumcisions to take place in this second temple. And so by the time the Lord was born, King Herod had taken over, and he was a Jew. And he didn't rebuild a new temple, but he restructured that second temple. He made it a little bit better, a little bit nicer looking. And so it became known as Herod's temple. And that was the temple into which the Lord comes today. As I said, there was, for 500 years, there had been no ark in that temple. So then there was no presence of God tangibly in that temple until this feast day, which we celebrate today, when God himself, in his incarnate Son, Jesus Christ, enters into this temple. This feast has several different names. It's called the meeting of the Lord in the temple. Sometimes it's called the presentation of the Lord into the temple. It's also called the entrance of the Lord into the temple. And we see through the words of the elder Simeon, that finally, after 500 years with no tangible presence of God in this temple, today, when Joseph and Mary bring their 40-day-old Christ child into this temple, once again, as it said in the readings that we heard last night from the, or would have heard from last night had we not been so exhausted from the whole weekend and had Vespers, we heard that the glory of the Lord filled the temple of the Lord, and we should fall down on our face. And that's what happened. The glory of the Lord entered into the temple of the Lord, but he didn't enter in glory like Isaiah's vision, where he'd seen smoke and the cherubim and the seraphim, but he entered in humility in the form of a humble 40-day-old child. He entered in humility into this temple, but the same glory was there. The same glory that filled the temple of Isaiah's vision filled the temple of the Lord, this temple, this Herod's temple, for the first time in over 500 years. And that is why Simeon was able to say his prayer. There is a saying that St. Simeon was one of the translators of the Septuagint. Now, the first part of the Septuagint was done 400 years before Christ, so he obviously wasn't part of that. But only the Torah was translated at the beginning, in what's called the Septuagint, of the original 70 fathers who translated the Bible from Greek into Hebrew, or from Hebrew, excuse me, into Greek. But it took several hundred years before the rest of the scriptures were finally translated. And it is said that Simeon was translating the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he got to the point where it said, "Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a child, and you will call his name Emmanuel." And it is said that he had a doubt. He doubted, because that could also be translated, "A young woman shall conceive." But he saw that it really should say virgin, and he had a doubt about that. And he wondered what he should do about it. And it is said that it was revealed to him that he would not die until he saw that verse fulfilled in his presence. And thus it was that he was an old man, probably 100, 120, maybe 130 years old at least, maybe even older. But he came to the temple every day looking for that scripture to be fulfilled in his presence. And thus it was today. He took the child into his arms and he said that beautiful prayer that we say that the church, both east and west, has always put as part of their evening prayers, their vesper service. "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, prepared before the face of all people, a light to enlighten the Gentiles and to be the glory of thy people Israel." My brothers and sisters, when we baptized little Victoria this past Saturday, that's the last thing Father did. After he baptized that baby, he brought her up here, and he said that prayer of St. Simeon, "Lord, now let thou thy servant depart in peace." That's sort of a prayer saying, "Lord, this child is never going to be more perfect than she is right now. You want to take her?" And if he doesn't take her, then he turns around and hands him back to the mom. And then mom gets to take care of her for 18, 20, 30 years maybe. Who knows? But this scripture was fulfilled in the presence of St. Simeon today. And also another female prophet named Anna, who also came to the temple every day looking for that scripture to be fulfilled in her presence. And we honor them today. This feast day is very special to me because the second parish I pastored was named St. Simeon the God Receiver. It was named after this St. Simeon of this feast day. So it means a lot to me to be able to serve this liturgy today. So let us rejoice today that we are now also in this temple dedicated to the same Christ child who entered into the temple of Herod today and brought his presence. As Father said yesterday, we processed with the tabernacle of Christ into this temple. We do have the Ark of the Covenant in this temple. It is sitting there on our altar, and we too will be able to receive that same presence of Christ in Holy Communion later on today. May God bless us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ.